Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, the Declaration of Independence signing day, where we got our independence from Great Britain. By the way, that was the day that Americans decided that we have to be independent from England. We have the King of England. We have to be separate from the King because of taxation, without representation. And one of the primary things that brought it to that point was pilgrims that were wanting to come to, well, actually were wanting to worship God. They became pilgrims because they had to, because they were, the queen was not letting them worship God. And so with that, they went and eventually came to America and to freely worship. And ultimately, you know, here we were. You know, the Declaration of Independence was signed. And it said, you know, that we, and you can see this on the VFN TV blog. We have it available for you. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. It was a big statement because it was saying, you know, which says something very significantly, that it comes a day in time when every American, everyone who declares a loyalty to America, who stands up and waves the flag, who says, you know, that America is, its original intent, the American original intent, was right. It was a right thing to do. The pilgrims said, we had no choice. We'd rather die here freely worshiping God than, you know, staying in the Church of England where the king was over the church, and that, you know, it was not right. You couldn't freely worship God. And which just goes to show you there comes a day in time. Think about this, Pat. There comes a day in time, just like it happened when Jesus was walking on the streets of Jerusalem, mm-hmm. you know, and Capernaum and all the areas in Israel, that, you know, what is, well, may have been right at one time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why we're all speaking English today. It's one of the most biggest, largest language. Maybe Mandarin is now, maybe, because it's got such a big population there.
Yeah.
But that it was right to say, we're going to have to break away because you will not let things be as they're supposed to be, to freely worship God. And so if we wave the flag today, mm-hmm. if we wave the flag today and we sing the Pledge of Allegiance and we declare our allegiance to the Constitution of the United States that says every man is created equal, you know, and their rights come from God. Mm-hmm. The right to pursue, you know, happiness and all the wonderful things that it talks about, then, you know, there seems to become a time in every generation that, you know, what was authentic and what is still authentic didn't move. It didn't progress. It didn't continue to follow when the cloud moved. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like the old wineskin and the new wine. One thing they have in common is they're both God. And so we mm-hmm. have to be real careful in honoring what is, while at the same time refusing to dishonor God when he's actually doing a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which is really not a new thing. It's just going back to his original intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in Revelation, he says, the church of Ephesus left their first love.
Right.
You know, and today so many things are being talked about what's loved. You know, I love this. I love that. But do we love Jesus
mm-hmm.
as our loyalty to the Lamb? And I think all of us can be challenged. I can be challenged in the area. But when you hear Mike Bickle at IHOP, you're like, oh, my goodness. Lord, make my obsession going after you and seeing your beauty and your splendor. Lord, show me your face. Lord, help me get past everything man has created so I can get into your presence, for it's all going to fade away. That everything I see is temporary, but everything I don't see is eternal, and I will live with you forever. I want to know now who I'm going to see spoken about prophetically in Revelation chapter 4. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, Elijah said. And you're surrounded by the four living creatures that are crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, worthy are you, Worthy are you? Why is he worthy? Because he took away our sin. There was nobody like him. There's nobody. All these false religions and all these people that are coming up with a different Jesus. Listen, there's only one Jesus. And you're called into his presence. You're called into an abiding relationship with him. Listen, just like in the founding of America, everybody who is committed to this great nation of America, and that we want it to come back to its original intent, you know, and quite often it's like, I want everything cut except for what I'm actually receiving, you know, but when you say go back to your original intent, you got to be willing to be cut yourself. You know, you got, it's all adjust.
All right.
And that's a huge adjustment because we've come a long ways from the original intent. But in regards to God, I mean, think about it. They made a decision and we celebrate every Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We celebrate, if people even remember anymore, you know, we celebrate that pilgrimage coming over from England to America, to Plymouth Rock. We celebrate every 4th of July that we signed a document that we have locked down. It's locked down. Mm-hmm. It's locked down in millions of dollars worth of security, you know, under pressurized vacuum. Mm-hmm. And alarms and everything. What is it? It's a paper that was signed. What is the sign? It's the signing of our Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. So there was a day that we had to declare our independence from that which took us away from God. Mm-hmm. And then the Declaration of Independence declares, and the Constitution declares, that we did not leave our God. As a matter of fact, this allows us to worship our God freely. And it says to the government, don't go there.
Right.
You know, which they're going there.
Yeah.
You know, don't go there. And so I want to encourage you that when you see somebody waving a flag for America, you know, it's time for us to wave the cross for Jesus. You know, we want to get back to the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be hearing, you know, in the future, and you may have heard last week, you know, Steve Hill said, you know, religion is hanging around the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just hanging around the cross. But those who are really going after God are getting on the cross. But Jesus said this. Mm-hmm. He said that unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross, you can have no part of me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so we got to get up on the cross. We got to deny ourselves, our ideas, our thoughts, our, you know, in regards to if it's different than what Jesus is saying,
right?
You know, we just kind of say, it's up to you, Lord. I mean, I'll just follow you. Mm-hmm. You know, and with that, you know, we're talking about the 4th of July, and I mentioned yesterday, I want to say this real quick, like, that the English language, remember, we're talking about, to our surprise, you know, ask Pat, remember, I asked you, when did the English language get? You know, I still haven't found it yet, right? We're still trying to master it down south. It's tough down south for us.
Yeah, very tough.
Hopefully, we're not like Bubba and whatever that thing. Anyway, so, it's in the 4th, the 5th, the 5th and the 4th and 5th century, right around there, is when English started coming, the old English started coming to pass. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we're talking about, you know, what we have an assumption that, you know, Jesus spoke English. Mm-hmm. where we're talking about, you know, these call to prayers that happen, you know, over the environment where a mosque goes up, that, you know, the trap that you can fall into is the fact that since Jesus speaks English and I speak English, these words being uttered over me 5 times a day, you know, and it's actually more than 5 times, because in that call to prayer itself, they say things 4 times, 2 times. Right. So you think, add all that up, 365 days. I mean, you can add, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That it does matter what words are being loosed in the air. It does matter, because you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. You're wrestling against, you know, Ephesians 6:12. And so, and what the Lord will do, you know, the Lord just turns us over to things. Mm-hmm. If you haven't yet gotten the teaching on VFN TV, you got to go there. It is, you know, is America under judgment? Mm-hmm. And it just presents the evidence, totally right. Presents the evidence. And it's, you know, looks at what's going on, and then what God says about it. Looks what's going on, what God says about it. And then, but ultimately, to encourage you that, you know, God loves us and has a plan for our life, and there's no sin too big that he can't forgive. But these things get, he turns us over to things so that our flesh would be destroyed, but we would be saved. and hope that it would actually bring us to a place of repentance. Mm-hmm. And so, but think about it. If there's three phases of judgment based in Romans chapter 1, we can stop. You know, we can stop before we get to the second phase. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's just stop here. Okay, I got it. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that though you're seeing some things go on, you know that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and that, you know, with him and following him, despite what men says, because when you're transitioning from like when George Washington, will be, I think in the extra hour today, you'll be hearing, you know, the story about George Washington and this awesome man of integrity who says he fully believes that God is involved in the affairs of men, and that he read from the Bible and when he was being sworn into office, and that, you know, I mean, just a real man of integrity. So I hear a little about him today, since we're talking about the 4th of July and how he got here. But it just, when they sat down, they said, listen, we can no longer do that anymore. We're going to do this. There was a battle that ensued. So when you're transitioning from what has turned into captivity, mm-hmm. to what's turned into freedom, there's going to be a battle.
Right.
The battle is, you know, with the Redcoats, for example, you know, with the British, there was a battle with Americans who said, we want to go the way that we celebrate today.
Mm-hmm.
That came because there was a battle,
right?
You know, and in that, you know, if you don't want to go through the battle, you'll stay in captivity.
Right.
If you've been convinced that, you know, that it's just all, you know, like butter on sliced bread, mm-hmm. it's just smooth like that. You know, but Jesus said this. He says, the kingdom of God, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and it's forceful men that lay hold on it. You know, people will begin to use God's word in a way that makes it seem like what Jesus is doing is wrong. I mean, they spoke against Jesus as if what he was doing was wrong. He's God. I mean, think about this. They looked Jesus, which was God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
They looked Jesus square in his eye. The people that day, of the religious that day, the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked Jesus square in his eye. God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they called him Satan.
Right.
You know what they were worried about? They were worried about their own kingdoms. They were jealous of his fruitfulness.
Right.
They envied what was going on. And Jesus is, it's like, we're all in the same family. I mean, isn't there just one king and one kingdom? Mm-hmm. Isn't it the church of Galatia, the church of Ephesus, the church of, Jersey, the church of Texas, the church of, you know, Georgia, the church of Florida, mm-hmm. the church of Denver. I mean, that's how he sees it, by the way,
mm-hmm.
despite what men's turned it into. It's a regional thing because we're one body.
Right.
You know, we have different expressions, but we're still each other. We're brothers and we're sisters in the Lord. And that, you know, Daddy wants us all to focus on his son's kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they actually looked Jesus square in the eye when there was a transition between, you know, 400 years of silence, moving out of the old covenant, moving into the new covenant. They tried to kill him at first, and they eventually did by God's choice at that point, that he let it happen. They beat him. They lied about him. They tried to do him in. They spread words all over the communities, trying to say negative things about him. And it just actually fueled, it made it more popular. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sometimes the best thing that can happen to those who are walking for God is for the Pharisees to rise up and start pointing out things like, okay, let's rock and roll. This is it, man. This mm-hmm. is it. Let's do it.
All right.
Because they all started flocking to Jesus, and they realized, oh my goodness, it's the real thing. It's the real thing, you know. And so, you know, with that, there's a battle and there's a struggle that happened to bring this land to pass. And when for example, the Presbyterian Church, the Presbyterians, you know, before there was Presbyterians, there was a powerful move of God and revival, and they would not let them in. When God started moving, they wouldn't even let them in the church. They wouldn't even let them in the building. So they had to go meet in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't that strange back then, but today it would really be strange, because they had to find a place to meet. And the power of God was so strong on these people at that time that the women, their hair was really long, that they would, their you know how you take a whip and you go pop, pop. that the power of God was on these women, and it was so strong on them, they literally would just lean forward and jump, and they would come back in the power of God. And we know how that is, right?
Yeah.
And their hair would just like pop, you know, like that. Wow. It would just pop. And there was they called it whip or something like that at that time. But that was how the Presbyterian Church was birthed.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
But look how things progressed. You know, so it's everything. You know, everything's going to begin for the fact that we're in it, men are in it, you know, it's going to come to a place of just kind of stagnation. Uh-huh. And so God always begins to do a new thing. It doesn't mean that the Presbyterians are not of God. It means, no, they're of God. They're, you know, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you'll find out we get set in our ways and we get kind of stuck and we get it all figured out, you know. And so there was a battle. They forced them to find some other place to meet other than inside the buildings. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every time God begins to do something, you know, those who reside in any kind of containment area do not want it to happen. It's not only containing that which is in there, but they're containing other things outside of it. That's what I know that Johnny Foote, you know, talks about and others talk about, you know, that a lot of people, you know, expressions don't want prophets to come around.
Right.
Because they'll actually bring up something that God's saying. It's like, you're going to mess my plans up. If you come in here, you're going to mess my plans up. And so I want to encourage you. I just really sense in my spirit that the hope for America today, the hope for America today is the church. The church, I believe, is a byproduct. America, I believe, is a byproduct of the church. Yeah, we need to do what's right. We need to stand up for right candidates that we prayed about and we sought the Lord about. And we interviewed them ourselves and talked to them about. Yeah, that they stand with our values, but that's not going to save America. What's going to save America is, you know, for us to follow Jesus, mm-hmm. to follow him, mm-hmm. and be willing to go through the battle. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you.
That's right.
A student is not going to be treated any better than his teacher. I mean, don't do things to be hated, you know, and... But understand that, you know, you can, this is the key, this is what he says. You know, we'll talk about this on a future program, but he says that he was hated without reason, without cause. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of hate. You know, if you're just loving Jesus and doing what he told you to do and loving people and leading others to love God, you know, and somebody's hating on you, mm-hmm. that's actually a treasure. That's a badge that you'll wear in heaven, mm-hmm. that you continued on. Even when those that were held, you know, by a religious spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what was said over by Chuck Pierce when he talked about America. He said there'll be a sign in Washington, D.C. Brianna was on. You got to go back and listen to the earthquake report on the highlights on VFN TV. I mean, VFN radio. He said there'll be a sign in Washington, D.C., and the sign represents, you know, a shaking because the church government is stuck and that it's held captive by a religious spirit, mm-hmm. and we have to shift it. And a religious spirit, of a lot of things you can say about it, is the biggest thing is that we think we got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. Do this, then this, then this, then this. Versus get thee up and go and I will show you. And then he tells us to do something like he told Abraham, and we're ready to do what he said. But then he says, never mind, don't do that. He's like, you just have this fear of God. He goes, now I see you fear me, when he didn't kill Isaac.
Right.
Now I see you fear me. Now I'm going to give to you what I thought you were going to give it to me back there. You know, and so I just want to encourage you that, you know, I just feel it in my spirit this morning to, you know, you got to say, am I willing to go through that battle? You know, and I sat down with my family, all my family members. I sat down with, you know, some of the leaders, all the leaders in our ministry. And I said, I want to go with Jesus. I want to do what he, wants us to do. I want to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not looking into transfer growth from, you know, switching, you know, expressions. There's lost, you know, if only 4% of the children in the world even know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that means 96% don't. You know, is that not enough to quit being religious,
right,
and start being relational and just in relationship? You don't give up order. You just got to relate to people. You can't say you're related. You actually got to love them, you know?
Right.
You got to spend time with them. And you find out that you can only do that with so many people. So you actually train them up to have relationships as well. You know, it's like, oh, family. What a concept. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so I want to encourage you. And I knew that when we're taking the route that we're taking, that, you know, we're going to, you know, get the things that happen. But, you know, for me talking to you, it's worth it. I'm encouraging you. If we're encouraging you.
Right.
And you're being inspired to go after God. If you're beginning to abide, you know, we have people, you know, somebody just recently were signing up for an abiding plan, you know, and I won't say too much about it, but I'm very excited about that. That's encouraging to see people getting saved and seeing, you know, a Marine who was at the end of himself and thought it was all over, but he heard VFN radio and he cried out to God and God filled him. And now he's actually a believer and he's being discipled by somebody in VFN family. We have people who thought they could never be used by God because the religious folk, they said, you have to be this way and you have to have a $2.3 million this. And this one's like, oh my goodness, I can't even balance my checkbook. How am I going to follow Jesus and serve him? And so in that, you know, we're seeing people be confident after hearing the words of Jesus that they can serve God. They can be faithful in their generation. It's worth all that. It's worth all that. Is it not?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth that. So if you're willing, and it's sort of like I think about, you know, Tozer that we talked about, you know, A.W. Tozer, he says, you know, to something to the fact that I don't have it in front of me, you know, but to be right with God often means to be in trouble with men.
Right.
And that's what Jesus was. Jesus was right with the Father, and there was men that he was in trouble with. But listen to this. But there was a multitude.
Mm-hmm.
It was so thankful, and we're some of those.
Amen.
That he followed the Father.
All right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Totally awesome. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's an old song that goes, I did it my way. I faced it all and stood tall, and I did it my way. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and while I won't be singing for you today, here's licensed clinical psychologist and mom of four, Debbie Cherry, who has some advice for moms who take those lyrics to heart.
It is mainly that we care so much we want to see it done. That we are passionate and driven and just have this idea that feeding our kids this meal and giving them a bath on this night and doing everything this way is going to make them the best adults someday that they can be. We really do believe that. There is also a component of that, though, that we have to be honest with ourselves and say that there is some pride tied to that. An idea that says, my way is the right way, and that's just prideful, and that's wrong. My way is not the only way or the right way all the time.
Hear more today from Debbie Cherry about relationships at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this, there came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you,
But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you where you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears? I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We are going to have, you know, we talked so much in the first hour, we get a chance to be able to talk about the wisdom moment. So we're going to talk about the wisdom moment for the day. And the proverb for today is Proverbs 2:11. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. And it says, Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. I mean, who doesn't want to be protected?
Right.
You know, who doesn't want to be guarded? You know, and the word protect means this: to defend or guard from attack, invasion, loss, annoyance, or evasion. Think about it. It's to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guard is to keep safe from harm or danger, to protect, to watch over. Right now, you know, it's so important. Everybody's talking about it. We want to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be protected. We need to be protected. And we're surrendering right after right after right after right as if God can't protect us. And we're just foregoing God's wisdom. We're foregoing discretion and understanding that comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to come up with our own devices how to protect ourselves as if we could.
Right.
You know, if God chooses it not to be, it won't be. And so discretion and understanding is very important.
All right.
We got to what is discretion? This discretion is this: the power or the right to decide or act according to one's own judgment, freedom of judgment or choice, or the quality of being discreet. Think about this. Discretion is you getting involved in your life. It's not just assuming everybody else is going to work your life out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be involved. God's involved in your life. You need to get involved in your life. And God's not going to do your life for you, but if you use discretion, if you gain this understanding that we're talking about in the wisdom of God, and use discretion, it'll protect you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll protect you. But if you're not going to get involved in it, you know, you think about riding on the highway and, you know, I was riding my motorcycle, and I have a helmet and full face mask and a shield on. And as of that, we'll keep as I'm driving 55 miles an hour down the road.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, this humongous bug, hits me right in the face mask and splatters across there. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, hey, a face mask is a good idea.
That's before you had it?
No. I had it. I had the face mask. I was wearing it. And so, yeah, no, you're right. So the reason why I'm looking at you one eye today, no, is that, you know, but discretion said, you know, get a helmet. You know, I learned about it. I've talked to people that rode before. And people that have rode and wrecked and different things. And I gained understanding, and I used discretion, and I put the helmet on, and the bug hit my shield. It did not hit me, you know. But if you don't plan, if you don't get involved in your life, if you just let life happen to you, and, you know.
And it will.
Yeah, it will happen. You know, people say, well, why didn't you? Well, they wouldn't listen, but it will happen eventually.
Yeah.
That we've just been in such a blessed land for so long, you know, that you could just, you've been able to do whatever you could do and act a fool in leadership. And it seemed to be no consequences because it was like you're so padded like peanuts in a shipping box. You know, look at the things that are being done in government now. And it's like, how could that last that long? We're so blessed. Mm-hmm. You can be that wrong for that long and we not yet fall.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a season coming that the cup is getting full, that we're going to have to get back involved and use discretion in our life and God's wisdom and follow the leadership of the Lord. And so I use discretion. If you don't use discretion, you know, and understanding is defined as this, the mental process of a person. In other words, your mental process, not someone else's mental process. Somebody says, just tell me.
Right.
What are they going to tell you? How do you know they're right? Yeah. Only God knows the motives of a man's heart. You need to hear people in your abiding relationship with God. You hear God's voice, and when they speak, the Spirit of God inside of you says, amen, or that's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what amen means. It doesn't mean that's the end of a good song or a good message. And so understanding is defined as a mental process of a person who comprehends or comprehension or personal interpretation. Again, you got to get involved in understanding. You have to educate yourself. If they gave their life, if they were willing, if they didn't know, if their founding fathers didn't know, and they signed the Declaration of Independence, and they signed the United States Constitution, that they didn't know whether they would actually live another day or not, think about it. Mm-hmm. We have to get involved. This is a representative government. You know, we are a republic, not a democracy. Let's make that available too. You know, under this particular blog today, and we have a segment on that, and understanding that we were a representative government, but a representative government requires you to get involved. You can't just sit back and let it happen, because life will hit us like a bug on a windshield, and if you're not prepared, you know, that's, you're not going to be guarded and you're not going to be protected. And right now, and we're talking about, you know, wisdom that comes, you know, getting discretion and getting understanding that it guards us and it protects us. This is the wisdom moment for today. And so, you know, do you know that God says that he will give you as much wisdom as you want? All you have to do is ask for it. In James chapter 1, 5 through 9, he says this. He says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, if anybody, that means you, it means me, any of us, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Mm. I mean, you can ask God for wisdom. You can say, God, I need some wisdom. Mm-hmm. And he goes on and says, who gives generously to all without finding fault? He says, okay, I'll give you wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it'll be given to him. Think about it. He says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, and here's the key, and unstable in all he does. Have you seen unstable people? They don't have discretion.
Yeah.
They don't seek understanding. They're not guarded. They're not protected. If you follow someone who has no discretion, you remember it was like, how many times, it's like, let's do this thing. He's like, oh, you're all over the map. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, my goodness, right?
Right, right.
I want to do this, but if we do this together, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, you're taking a long walk up a short pier.
Right, you know, you can have great intentions, but the short pier is going to drop you in the water in the end. Mm-hmm. And so you got to have discretion. And we can't want people to have it, therefore they have it. We have to know they have it or not. I mean, are you seeking God's wisdom? Are you one? You know, we want protection. We want, you know, to be guarded, and we can build as high fences as we want to around our country. But the truth is, if we don't seek discretion, you know, get involved in the process, what that means is me getting involved in decision-making based on the wisdom that I got from God's word and my personal abiding relationship with him, which you can find out more about that at iabide.org, and then get understanding, then you'll be guarded. Understanding that you know, wisdom is the proper application of the knowledge and the understanding that you get. You can't just get, you know, knowledge. There's a lot of people that, if you can explain like this, that they have this knowledge, but they don't have any discretion. They don't have any wisdom. And imagine this person walking towards a corner in a room, and they just walk to that corner and they just stay in that corner because they don't have the wisdom to turn around. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
They just start arguing, but the corner's not supposed to be here, and that I don't understand. It's like, it's a corner. know? Turn around. I just don't remember. I've learned everything. I know everything, of course. I've mastered in knowledge. Therefore, I'm puffed up, right? Knowledge puffs up. Mm. And this corner's not supposed to be here. But wisdom says, there's a corner there. Turn around,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But a prideful man would say, this is not supposed to be there. And he will stand in that corner like a two-year-old being disciplined by his parents, trying to figure out in his own mind why it's that way. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And right now, this very moment, America's standing in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They're going, why is it this way and why is it that way? Why wisdom is crying aloud in the streets saying, turn, get discretion, get understanding. Get involved in the affairs of life. If God is involved in your affairs and the affairs of men, shouldn't you be involved yourself? Don't think life just happens. It is a partnership with God under the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. And that if we as the church would get involved, begin to abide, don't just show up somewhere and have somebody tell you about God. You know, that's great that they're doing that, but you get involved in the God they told you about. You get involved with Jesus. You learn his voice. And coming soon to VFNTV.com, you know, it's going to be available for you on VFNTV, is the voice of the Lord, hearing the voice of God. You got my sheep know my voice, and they follow none other. They follow me, and they follow none other. Listen, you don't have to worry about, you know, who or where you're following if you're following Jesus, you know, because you're going to follow the voice of the Lord. You're going to follow what God is saying to you. And I'm going to just encourage you, think about this. If we want to not end up like you're going to hear, and you heard Friday, that Peter Wagner and Steve Hill talked about, that God just drops us.
Mm-hmm.
He just drops us and goes to another country, yeah, where, you know, 10% of China right now are believers.
Mm-hmm.
And 25% are professing now in India,
mm-hmm,
to be Christians.
Right.
And America's dwindling down. It's the church. It's us. We have to rise to the occasion. A rapid church planting movement. That's what Vine Fellowship Network's about.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, be a part. Get involved. Quit going to it and start being the church. VFNfamily.org. VFNfamily.org. Using discretion and understanding. Today's proverb, moment of wisdom, is Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this
Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can, mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the confessing church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the confessing church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
she
goodness.
Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now it's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, we have been working so hard. I know if you've been listening to VFN Radio, we've been sharing a lot of golden treasures of things and revelations that, you know, God has given us over the year. And I was really enjoying some of the words and here. It's just, I mean, you're talking about prophecy. I mean, every single day, you know, we have to hear from God and kind of seek his perspective. And we're just having a conversation, a light conversation, L-I-G-H-T, because every conversation that you hear on the news, the political conversations, the religious conversations, I mean, you just want to say, hey, I just want to go into my cave and just hide out. I mean, is there anybody who believes God? What happened to this God? Like, you think about Gideon. Gideon's going, yeah, you don't hear. I'm hiding out in a wine press here, just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And you got, you know, these angels showing up talking about mighty man of valor and talking about an awesome future. And he's saying, but what happened to the God of our past, that all the things that have happened in the past? And he began to speak into his life. And let me tell you something. There is hope. There is hope in God. What's going on right now, as you can see, you might not even know it. You may have buried your head in the sand of denial sometime back, and now you're just kind of, I know some people that I don't even watch TV anymore. You go, oh, wow, what holy people. They go, no, I just watch Netflix. It's like, oh, you're totally disconnected from all reality. Right. You want any news or anything that's going on. Man, we'll let you know what happens when you start running this way.
Exactly.
But just thinking, my goodness. Now, God is preparing. He always has a way. And what's happening? What's happening in the environment today? God is getting our attention. And remember this, he's a loving God. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, he'll shake your world to all you have left to do is look up.
That's right.
And then he'll go, you know what? I love you. And you'll go, thank you for being there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say, you're welcome, and I've always been there for you.
Right.
And then he'll begin to restore things back to you one by one. And some people can have more restoration than others, because some people get fully restored and they start trusting again in the stuff that he gave them. And Hosea 2 talks about that, the restoration. He pulls things away, but he does that to establish. And there is awesome hope. You know, kingdoms come and kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, and God determines when they do. And he even says very specifically that this kingdom will rise and this is its future, but all of a sudden its people begin to turn away from him, then he'll say, never mind. I don't want, you know, the plans I intended for it, it's over with. You think about it. When you look at, and we're really talking a little perspective here of God's news behind the news, when we're seeing all these things take place with North Korea and China and the Middle East and America. And when he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he's saying, listen, go. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Everywhere you set your foot, I will give you this land. And you think, and he says, you will never be defeated by anybody. Never by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened? They went to Ai.
Oh, that's
they
right.
went to Ai, the smallest town to defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And they got defeated and made a fool of in Ai.
They sure did.
And it's like, some people say, well, I thought God said, like, but I didn't know you was hiding a wedge of gold and a mink coat in your tent. You know, it's like if we stay right before God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hope. I mean, God will begin to bring us into a place, a promised land, not on this earth, but in him, and bringing us into heaven. And this journey is us learning how to trust him and how to get our morning bread, our manna, our part of Jesus, the word, the living and active word of God in our life. And we need some Joshuas to rise up and believe that God can take us in. You know, Joshua had his moments when he thought, oh my goodness, God told me that, you know, we'll never be defeated, and we just got defeated in Ai, and he began to cry out, and he said, you know, we're just going to die. We're right. going to die. And God says, get off your face and deal with the one who has sinned. Mm-hmm. And so often, you know, we don't deal with sin in the camp. We just don't deal with it. Right. You know, we just kind of let it go and let it go. In tradition, you know, and I say tradition, in large majority of the church today, they've created such fiscal debt that it's a financial decision first before it's a biblical decision.
All right.
Second, and they take it to a board who makes financial and administrative decisions, and they give you a logical response. If you tell Mr. CEO or Mrs. CEO, whoever, that they got to deal with that, you know, they're going to leave, and that's like 20% of our budget. We're going to go belly up in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all of a sudden we began to trust ourselves and trust people instead of trusting God. And that's when we start losing the battles.
That's right.
Yeah, that's when we start losing the battles. And the thing is, if you look at God's people on their journey, just study those that have gone before us and realize, have you read Hebrews chapter 11? I mean, the Hall of Faith, have you read about those that we're supposed to imitate? I mean, if you look at the natural sense, you would think, most of, you know, the world today, especially Americans, they would think, oh, these guys, they miss God.
Mm-hmm.
But God says the world wasn't even worthy of these guys. You can no longer, you can't measure God's success by how men view success. You just can't do it. And you can either be popular in God's eyes or popular in men's eyes, but you can't be them both.
Right.
What happens, though, when you do what's right in God's eyes, there's the people who want God will want to be around you. They want God. And you start seeing things take place. I just want to encourage you that though you're seeing things take place and you look to the leaders in even in Washington, D.C., and you think, is this really happening? Are they really, is this like, nuh-uh, not me type conversations? You did it first type things. Or about our entire nation. Are they printing so much money that we're going under now? Are they spending so much money that we're going under? Are we borrowing 40% of our money from China and other countries now? You know, are we picking a fight with Jacob,
right,
in Israel, with Israel? You think, oh my goodness. And you think about this. I want to encourage you that this is what God says. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves, and seek his face, he said, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. He says, when I send plagues, when these terrible things come upon you that I sent, he said, Basically, it's hardship. Consider hardship as discipline. I'm treating you as a son. But if you'll respond to them, these things will change. Washington, D.C. is nothing but a reflection of the heart of America, American people.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. That's what they are. They're politicians. They actually get voted in by us, you know?
Right.
I mean, how can you yell at people that you voted in? Or your lack of participation in the democracy, in the republic in which we stand.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't stand.
While we stand.
Yeah, while we stand. And the thing is that how we change Washington is we change our hearts. And you know what? Let me tell you, I'll give you hope. Listen to this. Even the very people that are in Washington, God holds their heart in his hand. And if we'll change our heart, God can change their heart overnight.
That's right.
That what's happening right now is happening because the church's heart's not right. I don't care what anybody tells you. I'm hearing things like they're preaching the gospel of grace. Well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of grace. But once you make grace a gospel, that's a permission to sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the gospel of faith. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these other things are attributes to faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the last, yeah, benefits. And the last thing that we need to be focusing on is permission to continue to do wrong. We need to do right. So if we want to change Washington without even changing the people there, we can begin changing ourselves through personal transformation. Personal transformation. You can say, you know what? I kept on yelling at the world because it didn't adjust to me. God, I'm going to begin to adjust to you and entrust you to adjust this world. And that's how it works. You just begin to spend time with God. And we have a simple plan. If you've never done it, it needs to be simple. If it's not simple, you'll be defeated in it. You just need to be able to spend time with God on a regular basis. Abide with him like he talks about in John 15. He says, if you remain in me, if you're reading the NIV, if you're reading the New King James, abide in me, and my word abides in you, he said, listen, you'll bear much fruit, and all these great things will come out. What God has saved you for is a personal relationship with him. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. If you don't have a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. iabide.org. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.